preaching this morning from Hosea. You don't have to turn there just yet when you sit down. Hosea chapter 4. And today is Christian Education and Training Day. So we're celebrating and recognizing the ministries in our church that play the critical role of educating and teaching and training people. And so I want to talk to you today, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and say this: what you don't know can hurt you. Tell them on the other side, what you don't know can hurt you. Tap the person in front of you on your shoulder. Turn around to that joker behind you. All right, you can be seated. The book of Hosea is a story about, tells a story about the prophet Hosea, who prophesied to the people of God for a half a century, for 50 years. During his prophetic ministry, some juncture, God tells him to get married. And so he says, sure, God, I want to get married. So he says, I think I'll start looking amongst the choir members for a wife. And if I don't find her there, he said, I'll look among the ushers and see if my queen is in the usher board. But then God gives him some strange instructions. God says, I don't want you to marry anybody in the choir. I don't want you to marry anybody from the ushers. Matter of fact, I don't even want you to marry anybody from the church. Your wife is coming from the streets. And so God gives instructions to Hosea to marry a prostitute, a whore, a woman of the night, named Gomer. So he goes out into the street and he marries Gomer. The problem with Gomer is that she marries the pastor, she marries the prophet, but she still got street in her. Go on, pastor. Some of y'all still got some street in you. Go ahead. You may not want to admit it. You might not want to confess it. So he marries her, and her problem is she continues to roll back and forth between her husband and the streets. It's a back and forth. And he ends up going out and retrieving her and getting her and bringing her back. It's a cycle that he goes through. Matter of fact, on a few occasions, he has to go and buy her back off of the bed from the John that she's with. I don't know why they call him Johns. I wish they had another name to call him other than John. Maybe we should say the Bob or the Ralph or something like that. And he ends up paying the man to get his wife back. The reality is this, is that the essence of Hosea's life is that God is wanting to teach to the children of Israel the magnitude of his love for them. And he does it through the life and the story of Hosea and Gomer. He says, the same way that Hosea loved his wife Gomer, he loved her. And no matter what she did, he would keep going back to get her. And he'd keep on bringing her back. He'd keep on forgiving her time after time after time again. He keeps doing it. Keeps bringing her back. And in the same way, God is saying, I want to teach the children of Israel a lesson of how much I love them and how much I'll keep going after you, keep getting you no matter what. Somebody say amen. You all better be glad that we serve a God that loves you in spite of what you have done. Oh, I should have got a few more amens than that on this point. And so God wants to convey that story. And I'm thankful to God that God loves us unconditionally. God's love for us is not measured or determined by us. He loved us. He loves us regardless of how jacked up we are. And so Hosea simplified, demonstrates that. He shows that. He exemplifies the love of God. And it is through his story, it is through his life, it is through this illustration that we see the magnitude of how much God loves us and cares about us. And so God says and gives us this story, but in the midst of it, God is challenging Israel to understand that judgment is coming and problems are coming, and the fact that they've strayed away from him, they've done a lot of things, and it is in the midst of this book of Hosea that God wants to unveil that to them. And one of the issues that comes to the surface is that God says he wants to challenge this adulterous people. He wants to challenge them about the way they have behaved and the way they have acted and the way they keep on turning their back on him and the way they keep on rejecting him and the way they keep on not wanting to be around him. And so in chapter 4, there is a dialogue and a discussion. There's a revelation to us about where the children of Israel are and what their issues are. And as a matter of fact, as he is talking to them through this book of chapter 4 of Hosea, as he talks to them in his fourth chapter, he's also, as you read through it, you would think he was talking to America in 2011. Matter of fact, we can be a little more specific. Not just he's talking to America, but he's talking to Maryland. Y'all might not want to admit it, but he's talking to Prince George's County. He's talking to the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area, because he begins in these first 10 verses of chapter 4, lays out some serious deals. And I'm hoping y'all allow me a few moments to lay these out to you. The first thing he talks about in these 10 verses of chapter 4 is the condition. Somebody say the condition. In verses 1, 2, and 7 through 10, look at these conditions. Let's look at what he talks about. In verse number 1, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." Here's the charge. Here's the condition. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Stop right there. Here's the first challenge. He says there's no truth or mercy. Here's the trouble we have in our communities. We have no truth. As a matter of fact, we have made a lie the truth, and we've made the truth a lie. God says there's no truth in the land or mercy. People have lost the ability to be compassionate and to show mercy. You ever notice that there are people who want everybody to give them mercy, but they don't want to give anybody any mercy? He said, that's the condition in the order of the day. That's the condition. No truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. People don't really know anything about God. Here's what blows my mind, is that there's stuff that people are saying is God that's not God at all. I wish I had more amen persons like that. The truth of the matter is, we've lost track of who God is and the way God functions and the way God operates. There's no knowledge of God. It's hard to know about God when you don't have a relationship with him. Oh, we got relationships with church. We know church protocol. We know the church deal. We know religious stuff, but we don't know about God. He said, there's no knowledge of God. There's no truth. There's no mercy. There's no knowledge of God. It's a problem. It's drama. It's a pain. But he doesn't stop there. He says in verse 2, there's swearing and lying and killing and stealing and adultery. It has become the order of the day. Swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. And people commit adultery and wipe their lips and say, I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything wrong. Swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. As a matter of fact, he goes on, slide down to verse number 7. He says in verse 7, the more they increase, the more they sinned against me. He says sin keeps increasing. The more they increase, the more they sin. When you think that we live in a community and in a place where people are increased, you're being blessed. Bigger houses, more cars, fancier clothes. We've increased, but our sin increases along with it. There's no gratitude to God. Matter of fact, there was a time when you didn't have nothing and you was at church every week. But now that you got all this stuff, you come to church when you have time. Go on and preach, Pastor. They ain't gonna say nothing. I gotta work, I gotta travel, I gotta do overtime, I gotta do golf this morning, I have to do such and such. We've increased, but yet our sin has increased. Matter of fact, verse 7 says, God says, I'm gonna change their glory into shame. You looking good now. You leaning now. You decked out now. But God says, I'm going to change your glory into shame. Verse 8 says the condition is that they eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on their iniquity. I want you to get that second part. That they set their hearts on iniquity. They set their hearts to do wrong and they chase after it. They set their hearts in that direction. They plan it. They schedule sin. They put it on their vacation. They put it in their plans. They put it on their agenda. They set aside money to do it. They have it withdrawn automatically from their accounts. Go on and preach, Pastor. This crowd ain't gonna say nothing. They set their heart on their sin. They set their heart. They put their focus there. They make sure it happens. They set their iniquity. They have the money withdrawn from their account for their sin, but they don't do it for their tithes. They pay more money to the things of the world and the things of their flesh than they do to the kingdom of the God that we serve. Verse number 10 says, for they shall eat, but not have enough. The more you get, the more you want. You continue to get more, but you want more. You keep increasing. They had the prosperity. They had the blessings. They had resources. But they want more. They never get satisfied. How many of you know your flesh is never satisfied? The more you get, the more you want. The text says, they shall commit harlotry, but not increase. That's the condition. Never enough, committing harlotry, no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God, swearing, lying, killing, stealing, adultery, sin is increasing. Glory is changed to shame, their hearts are set on their iniquity. It goes on and on. Hear these verses talk about the condition. And if we could just mirror that, that's what's happening in our communities. So the question is, what's the cause? So that's my second point, is the cause. The first point was the condition. Second point is the cause. I got C's today. I hope y'all recognize that already. I gave y'all a break from the P's for today, so we're on a C today. The letter for today, the big bird letter for today is C. What's the cause? How did the people of Israel get in this condition? How did the people of Maryland and America get in this condition? How are we where we are? I'm glad you asked the question. It starts with verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because of what they don't know. A lack of knowledge. A failure to perceive. A failure to discern. To understand. A failure to get the wisdom. A lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you. Here's where I spend most of my time. Spending time with people who have made horrid decisions. Who have made terrible choices. And now have to live with the consequences of their choices. And the problem is, and the drama is that they know better. They've been taught. They should know better. But here's the problem. Some folk make choices and make decisions. But if they had just got the training and had applied it to their life, they wouldn't have the drama that they're in today. It's not that the information is not available to you. It's a lack of knowledge. It's not that it's not available for you to learn. It's not that it's not possible for you to engage in and get it in your mind. But the problem is, matter of fact, here's what the text says. It says it's a lack of knowledge. I like that word right there. They fail to know. But here's the problem. What causes it? Not only that they don't know it, but here's where the drama is. Here's where my heart is burned. Is because verse number 6 says, because you have rejected knowledge. When you had the opportunity to get the knowledge, you said, I don't want it. I'm too busy. I'm too important. I got too many other things to do. I got to do my aerobics class. I got to go to my fraternity meeting. I got to go here. When you had the opportunity to take the class, but yet you won't do it. And then you want to know why your life is jacked up. It's jacked up because when you had an opportunity to learn what you were supposed to do and how you were supposed to respond and where you were supposed to go, you were too busy doing nothing. You could have saved yourself the drama from co-signing, but you were too busy to come to the financial freedom class and learn not to co-sign. You could have saved yourself the drama of the marriage that's driving you crazy if you had just taken the course and learned that you don't get unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Go on and preach, Pastor. You preaching and teaching. I know y'all don't like that, but no, you thought you could change him. You're going to do some missionary marriage. You're going to enter into a missionary marriage. You're going to get him saved. You're going to get him transformed. You're going to work with him. You're going to help him. He got a good heart. He come to church with you. And so you're just going to go ahead. Yeah, he's going to go to church with you for as long as he can go to church with you to make you happy. But I promise you, soon thereafter, the joker is going to stop going to church. It didn't tell you to go marry somebody who went to church. He said, marry somebody who's saved. And there's a difference. Yoo-hoo! Hey! Your children are now giving you drama. Your children are now driving you crazy. But guess what? When we offer the class to teach you how to train your kids, you're too busy to train your kids. You're too busy to come to learn to how to whip their behinds right. Because you listen to Dr. Spock, and Dr. Spock be telling you, don't whip children. You be listening to them. Dr. Spock ain't had no kids. And Dr. Spock did not have no black kids. And the Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. But guess what? We offered the class, but nobody came. So in 5 or 6 years, when little cute Johnny is driving you crazy, you want to bring him to the youth minister and say, can you straighten him out? Hell no, we can't straighten out your hellish child. Hell no. Your child to raise. Get your butt in a class and learn how to raise your kids. Woo. Y'all done made me mad now. I done got mad. Happy birthday. I'm sorry. Please don't write me no letters. Don't write me no letters. Don't send me no emails. If the worst problem I had in this church was cussing, I'd build a cussing lounge. Y'all will get that in the morning sometime. I am using biblical language. It is in the Bible. What you don't know can hurt you. And I can go on and on. I can spend the rest of the day, because I only got 7 minutes left and I got a long way to go. I can spend the rest of the day talking about mistakes that people make because they don't know no better. And you cannot say, as a member of this church, that we have not made the information available to you. You don't have the knowledge. You reject the knowledge. Some of y'all ain't never been to Bible study. You don't know what Tuesday or Wednesday night Bible study look like because you ain't never been. You've never taken a Bible Institute class. You've never come to a fellowship where we got all the teaching going on in this church. You've never been a part of a discipleship program, but you want to know why your life is so miserable. My people are destroyed, he says, because of a lack of knowledge. And he says right here, also in verse 6, I think I said it already, you reject it because you have rejected knowledge. And then he says, you have forgotten the laws of your God. That's the cause. You don't have the knowledge, you reject the knowledge, and what you did learn, you forgot. Let me tell you something. Here's why God has blessed my life and why God has blessed the life of this church. Because we build our lives. I build my life, my wife and I and our family build our lives, and we have built this church on the principles learned in this book right here. And when you build your, when you make this the center of your life and you learn it and apply it to your life, Matter of fact, the very last part of verse 10 says, this is what's causing it, because they have ceased obeying the law. What brings trouble in your life is that you have ceased to obey God in some component of your life. That's all you need to do is research, where have I disobeyed God? Where have I not followed God? But when you obey God, when you make it your passionate will and you make it your goal to obey God, favor will rest on you. Y'all ain't got to say amen, but I like living my kind of life. I like living a life where God gives you favor, because favor ain't fair. Anybody here know that favor is not fair? Somebody say favor ain't fair. I know people want to look at me and say, how he get that? Why does he deserve that? Why is he so special? Favor ain't fair. It's okay. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm in his word. I'm applying it to my life. You ain't got to like it. Favor ain't fair, but I like my favor. I like God's opening up doors that nobody can close. I like it that he's blessing me beyond my wildest dreams. I like it where he does stuff for me that can't nobody take it away from me. I like living this kind of life. I'm living a blessed life. I'm blessed when I come and I'm blessed when I'm going. I like living this kind of life. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a special call church meeting. A couple weeks. God's favor is resting on this church so incredibly. In a couple weeks, we're going to have a special call church meeting. We're going to do a little short meeting. Ain't going to take long. Right before Bible study. Just 10 or 15 minutes. Because we have an opportunity now to buy some additional property at a great rate. Don't be jealous. It's a blessed life. And we got the money to pay for it. Come on, somebody. More property to expand the ministry, more property to make provision for more classes, more ministry meetings, more worship space. That's the favor of God. Now it's 10:58. I'm not going to be finished by 11 o'clock. Let me talk about the consequences. Jot these verses down. Read them when you can. I'm going through this fast. Consequences in verse 3. 5 through 7 and 9. Verse 3, therefore. Anytime you see therefore, you need to ask what the therefore is there for. Therefore connects what he's about to say with what has just been said. In the previous verses, he talked about the conditions. Therefore, verse 3, he says, because of that, because of what they did, because they have no truth, no mercy, they don't have the knowledge of God, they swear, they lie, they kill, they steal, they commit adultery. Verse 2 says, they break all restraints. I didn't even talk about that. They break restraints. They have no restraints, verse 2 says. No limitations, no boundaries, no limits to what they do. They break all restraints. Whatever seems right to a person, just do it. With bloodshed upon bloodshed, murder upon murder, murdering each other. We are aborting babies to the tune of 1 million babies a year. Therefore, the land will mourn. There's the consequences. The land will mourn. Your people are like those. Verse 3, therefore the land will mourn and everyone who dwells there will waste away. Here's what the text is saying. The consequences are you will live wasted lives. You know what? I don't want to go through my life and get to the end of my journey and look back and have nothing to show for it. That my life is equated to absolutely nothing. And the judgment of God said the consequences of rejecting his word and not getting it, he says the consequences of that is that your life will waste away. Do y'all see that right there in verse number 3? Do y'all see that? I said, do y'all see that in verse number 3? Read it right there, y'all. I'm not making this up. The land mourns and everyone who dwells there will waste away. Verse number 5 says, therefore, there's another therefore, you shall stumble in the day. You've fallen on your face in broad daylight. You see the trap coming and you fall in the hole anyway. In broad daylight, you see trouble. You see that no good joker coming in and you still open the door. You stumble in the day. Verse 5, he says, and I will destroy your mother. What does that mean? That means that which you are looking for life from will die. He's not talking about your natural mother. He's talking about that which you keep looking to give you hope and answers and to make provisions for you. Your mother is going to die. For some of you, your mother is your job. For others of you, your mother is your career. Your mother is something that you look for to give you life. But you can only get life from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number 7, verse 7. God says, I'm going to change their glory into shame. God says, the consequence is I'm going to take that which you have celebrated and promoted and felt good about it. It's going to become shame. And finally, in verse 9, he says, and it shall come to pass, and it shall be like people like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. God says, I'm going to punish you for your ways and reward you for your deeds. He says, I see your ways and I see your deeds. And I'm going to bring punishment to you. Those are the consequences. So what's the cure? I'm glad you asked. Jot these verses down. I'll tell you what they say. We don't have time to go there. John 8:31 and 32 says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Here's the cure to the dilemma. Here's the cure to all the drama. Here's the cure to the consequences. Here's the cure to the cause. You shall know the truth. You get into a place where you learn truth. You're not going to get truth from Oprah. You're not going to get truth from Jerry Springer. You get truth from the Word of God. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jot it down. I like this passage right here. I'm going to read this one to you. Somebody needs to hear this. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden. Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You need to ask yourself the question, what am I learning about God? For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, if you want life to change, learn from me. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, King James Version says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The New King James Version says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word, be diligent, the word study, it means the same thing. It means to move with speed and make an effort. Move with speed and make an effort. That's what study means. That's what be diligent means. To make a move, it means to move quickly. To make an effort and to move quickly. You need to act quickly. Am I giving y'all too much too fast? Get this in your spirit. Here's what I'm driving at. I'm driving at trying to change your lifestyle to where you make the regular diet of the Word of God a regular pattern in your life. Not just Sunday mornings. This is a little sandwich I give y'all. You need a full course meal. I give you a little sandwich on Sunday, hoping that it wets your lips to give to, for you to want to know more about God and want to know more about His Word and to be able to dig deeper into it, other than these 25 or 30 minutes that I have on Sunday morning, to be able to spend an hour, 2 hours in the Word and go deeper in the Word. That's what causes growth. That's what brings favor. That's what causes change in people's lives. Here's the bottom line. Your life is jacked up because you didn't know any better. Some of y'all in here today and you never knew. You didn't know what you should have done. You didn't know what God's word said. But God has given you an opportunity to make change and bring correction to your life. And I want to challenge you. Somebody here today, you didn't know that Jesus died for your sins. You didn't know He was wounded for your transgressions. You didn't know that He was buried and rose again from the dead. But guess what? If you accept that message today and accept Jesus, He will wash all your sins away and make you a brand new creation. Amen. Somebody say, just say amen right there. Now, I don't know who you are, but I know you're here. I don't know your name, but I know you're here. I don't know where you're from, but I know you're here. And right now, you need to give your life to the Lord. God spares your life and brought you here today because He wants you to be a brand new creation. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Just get up out your seat and make your way to this altar as quickly as you can. And I promise you, the God that we serve can change your life, forgive you of your sins, and bring repair to the consequences of the choices that you have made in your life. Unsaved, come. Backslidden, you've drifted away from God, come. We're going to shout. Ain't nobody going to look down and nose at you. Nobody's going to talk about you because nobody in here was born saved. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You come and let's get it right with God today.